Perhaps you will turn with me to the scriptures. In the second book of Kings. Chapter 4. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, to this section then, beloved, I want just to speak to you simply from it, that years ago, I think I've only just about preached on this section about three times, but this will be the third time tonight, I think. But years ago, the Lord showed me that here in this section there is a principle and an illustration. And God needs to open all our hearts to this great truth. You will know, of course, that oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, one of the great symbols of the Spirit of God. And in its very figuration, it brings to us the thought of the Holy Spirit in the sense of his being a comforter. For you will know that oil is a very comforting thing to have poured on you. Remember the Samaritan. He poured in oil and wine when he met this man on the road, or found this man on the road. And oil is a symbol of the great comfort of the Spirit. And this is one of the glorious names that the Lord called the Holy Ghost. He said, when he, the Comforter, is come. And he loved to use this word, comforter, for I confess to you that I love to be comforted. I don't know that it's always good to have people stirring me up and roughing me up and keeping me going and I don't know what. There are times when I like to be comforted. And this is one of the great needs of the human heart. If I was to say to you tonight, are you really comforted inside? Really comforted? Isn't it lovely that the Lord wants to do this? The thing about it, beloved, is that most of us haven't got a clue about how the Lord wants to do it, although the Bible shouts it out at us all the time. I say it already in naming this name of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. The Lord has shown us that comfort along this line lies with the Holy Ghost. Lies with the Holy Ghost. That he has come to comfort. I don't suppose there's any one of us in the room that hasn't at some time had, if is not now in the position of being comforted, wanting to be comforted. We've had need to be comforted in our lives. God knows this. And only God can do this. And there is no substitute for the Comforter. All right. And here then we have a story, a true story of this widow woman. I don't want to engage myself with all the details of the story, but just to show, to see this, that the prophet Elisha, he said to this woman, "Now, what have you got in your house?" She said, "I have a pot of oil, nothing else beside." And he said, "All right, you go and borrow vessels of all your neighbors. Go and borrow vessels. Don't borrow a few. Get a great big large view of this. Don't be stinting yourself in any way or degree. No limitations here. This is the thing that you need to see. This is the principle that's involved in this story. Don't borrow a few," he said. "And you know," he said, "now go in, shut the door, pour out into these vessels." Told them what to do. So they went out and they borrowed all the vessels that they could get their hands on. All shapes and sizes and capacities, no doubt. The vessels, it wasn't particular what they were made of, whether they were old earthenware vessels, whether they were ancient heirlooms, or whether they'd just come from the brick kiln, or whatever it is, the potter's wheel, or whether they'd just be knocked into shape as a piece of metal, or what. Didn't matter what their original use was either. What they'd originally been put to. He said, "Just go and borrow vessels. Bring a wheelbarrow, if you like, doesn't matter. Bring them. And just pour out into these vessels." Praise God. And that's exactly what she did. And the story goes on thus, that it came to pass in verse 6, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. What a tremendous thing this is. You see, beloved, one of the great things that we need to learn as a principle in this matter of the Holy Spirit is contained for us in John chapter 3. Alas, alas, we are so slow to learn the things that God wants us to learn. We learn all manner of things that God doesn't want us to learn. But to learn the things that God wants us to learn, how slow. Why, I travel all around the country, and all over the place I hear people standing up and say, people that I think ought to know better, "Lord, we've been so slow to learn," they say. They're always shouting it out, everywhere. Everywhere it's being shouted at God. Lord, we've been so slow to learn. That's right. That's what they say. It's so true. And yet, beloved, it's all in the book, really, if we'll read it. And in this great third chapter of John, this is what we read. Verse 34, he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Now I'm going to read it as it is in the Greek. Keep your eye on your version. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. If you've got a very good Bible, the word unto him will be in italics to show you they're not there in the Greek. Because the translators here have made a big blunder. They've made it refer only to Jesus Christ. But that's not what the Spirit of God wrote. The Spirit of God wrote concerning himself that God does not give the Spirit of God by measure. Hallelujah. You think of that. Of course, if you really think, the Bible is quite consistent here. Let's go back to where we started on Friday night together. It seems such a long time ago now, doesn't it? On Friday night, when we began to trace the movings of the Spirit in the Bible, and we saw that right in the beginning, when darkness lay upon the face of the deep, and the world, the earth was without form and void, it says the Spirit of God was moving on the face of the water. God. How are you going to measure that? You see, there's the clue right from the beginning. We're moving in these realms, beloved, where so far as God is concerned, where even the being of God is concerned, and even the person of the Spirit in the Godhead is concerned, without measurements. And so far as the giving as God of God is concerned, without measurement. Of course, really, if the translators had thought a while, they would have seen that they hadn't got a clue to put unto him there. Because if you just talk about Jesus, God gave his Son. Has ever anybody measured the gift? Has that? Indeed, anything that God gives us without measure. This is the thing. There's no measure to the gift that God gives. Never. If you have said, let's just talk about a gift in the Spirit now. Anybody ever measured the gift of prophecy? What it's capable of? What it has already done and what it should already do? Anybody ever measured the gift of healing? You see, when you come round to these way God's giving, there are no limits. In other words, in fact, there are no measurements God hasn't given by any yardstick at all. What a tremendous thing for us to realize. Now, this is illustrated in the story that we read together. All the time there was a pot there, all the time there was a vessel. Glory be to God. All the time there was a vessel. There was oil to fill it. The only limit was set by the woman, not by God. Now that's the thing that we need to see. And here then is a terrible principle revealed for us. That it is human beings who set the limits on God. Amen. Now this must never be. Because even when the great human being was on this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, God could have no limits in him. None. And he had to go to a cross. And he had to be nailed there to show there were no limits with God. When God no longer could work through him in miracles and preaching, and he hung dumb on a tree, then he poured blood out of his veins. That's right. And water out of his side. No limits with God. Jesus Christ had to die out of the way to show there are no limits with God. Even Jesus. He said, I've got to get out of the way. Holy Ghost will come. I must go away. He said, I can't stop here. Praise God. This is it. I'm going away. This is the thing for us to understand, and oh, may God this night while we're here together reach the depths of the needs and minister to all our hearts. For as sure as we're here, it's almost certain that perhaps 50% of us here, I don't want to go any higher, I'm certainly not going any lower, think that there are limits to God, even with their quotation of with God nothing shall be impossible. But by the very fact of our humanity and our smallness and the way we act proves it, as it did in this woman's case. Don't borrow a few, he said. You'd have thought he'd have said, now go and get 100 or 200 or 300. She might have looked round for 300 of the biggest hogsheads in the country. You know what I mean by hogsheads? Barrels. And gathered them all together and said, that's it, that's the limit. Can't go any more than that. You see? This is it. Because human beings, beloved, because we're human, we move in the realm of measurements. That's right. How many miles is it to London? There you are. What time are you going to have your lunch? Measurement of time. And so where you go? Oh, and my husband will just take 2 potatoes, please. That's his limit. You see? I know, I've had a wife for a long time. 28 years over this weekend. You see? Yes. You see, and this is the way. And I want to tell you, beloved, and perhaps I'm speaking to everyone in this room, including myself, that you've almost certainly set limits to God. This is the terror of the church. The churches have set limits to God. You know, thus far and no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. You see? That's the way it goes in the human mind. But beloved, everything in this book is consistent with it. You think of all that which he said. Borrow all these vessels. Borrow not a few. You see? So as I've remarked, he didn't say, well, now there should be a certain type of vessel. Glory be to God. Would it be terrible if I stood standing here and thought, oh, you only feel certain kind of people, you see, and all this nonsense. Only certain kind. And you know, I once met a man, and he was a good friend of mine, really. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but we talked together, and he said to me, you know, the denominations, they can be explained by the different types of people. And certain types become brethren, and certain types become Baptists, and certain types of Church of England, and certain types in the Salvation Army, and certain types are in Pentecost, you see. And all these denominations are just made wonderfully by God to fit the different. Absolutely wrong. Sounds so plausible. And all sounds so right. No, I'm not saying that birds of a feather don't flock together. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, beloved, is that it is absolutely wrong to think that it's a certain type of people that are baptized in the Spirit. Certain kind of vessels get filled with God. Why? It reminds me of this great truth in the Acts of the Apostles. Let's have a look at it together. In the Acts of the Apostles, and you read in the first chapter, you see? Here they're all together, and they go to Jerusalem, and they pray, and as you look In verse 15 it says, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, now listen to it, the number of the names together were about 120. You see, some of them were designated. There was the Peter-shaped vessel, and there was the John-type vessel, and Matthew, his name, but there were a lot of all hodgepodge people there, heterodox kind of a crowd. They were all gathered there. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't matter to him. Praise the Lord. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. Acts chapter 2. That's the great truth. Every one of them. Every one of them. But you know, beloved, this is the great hold-up. As we go back to that story in 2 Kings, this is the great hold-up in so much today, beloved. Listen, it is also typical of the ways of the Spirit. 2 Kings 4, verse 5, she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She poured out. Bless the name of the Lord. God poured out. Poured out. Need pouring out. The Lord is pouring out now. This is typical of God. He is an outpoured God. The Holy Ghost is an outpoured person. Outpoured. And this is the great cry. You see, beloved, that it was the Son that brought the vessel. The Son's brought the vessel. For the time being, it was the Son that got hold of a vessel, and it was the Son's vessel. And have you ever seen yourself that you're a vessel? You're a vessel. For the purposes of what was happening there, those sons that brought the vessels, they were identified with the vessels, and the woman knew it. She would lose her sons if the vessels weren't filled. Is that right? That's absolutely right. She knew she'd lose her sons. This is the great complaint. She said, I'm going to lose my children. This was God's answer. Oh, if every one of us in this room tonight recognized this, that in this great thing where God is concerned, we're identified along the line of being a vessel. You have a life, my friend, in this world. You have a life. You're in this world as a vessel. A vessel, that's what you're here for. And I want to tell you, and you should know it too, that you have a tremendous capacity inside you. Either for sin, or for God, for holiness. That's right. You have a capacity either to extend to hell or reach to heaven. That's the terror of the human soul. It could be filled with heaven or hell, the devil or God. It's both its greatest wonder and its biggest tragedy. You're a vessel. And as sure as you're in this room tonight, you're filled with something. There's nobody in this room half filled. Nobody. Praise God. You're full of something. Bear that in mind. You're full of something. Oh, it's our nature to be full. Yeah, when we come into the world, we think, oh, we've got to live for us to fill ourselves up with milk. That's the first thing we think. We fill ourselves up till we're sick. Apparently, as soon as we come in, we seem to know we're made to be filled. And we are. And you'll fill yourself with something. And if God doesn't fill you, then the devil will. This is the tremendousness, this is the shock of our age in which we're living. Who among us would doubt that the devil has filled men? Absolutely filled them. Filled them with all kinds of wickednesses, murders and lusts and sins and hallucinations and devils and sicknesses and bondages and I don't know what. Absolutely filled them. He's an expert at filling people. But I want to tell you, so is God. So is God. And you are to regard yourself as a vessel and know in this realm that God does not give the Spirit by measure. He doesn't do it to anybody. You can't have a little bit of the Spirit. He doesn't give the Spirit by measure. The Holy Ghost is a being. He's a person. He comes to have his being in you. That's what he comes for, in a very wonderful way. And so these sons, they were identified with the vessel that they bought, and I should think that that mother who poured out the oil and saw with wonder and amazement that there was no bottom to it and no end to it, and the miracle continued and continued. Better she filled up one son's vessel and thought, that saved you, son. That saved you, son. If you only can think of the mother heart that set her a-crying as she did after this man of God. Something could she be done. The salvation of my boy. Yes. Yeah. And that's how God planned your salvation. The salvation of you, the total salvation of you, so far as God is concerned, is that you should be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's your salvation. God's planned a wonderful salvation for you. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with comfort. Oh, Lord. Yeah. You try to comfort your hearts on texts of scripture, are you? God intends something better than the Bible for you. You're too good just to be pushed off with the Bible. Glory. Hallelujah. He intends to come and comfort you himself, all inside, to satisfy your heart and fill you up with himself in such a glorious way that you're all comforted inside. Amen. Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. Amen. I won't leave you comfortless. This is the way of God. A vessel. A vessel. And yet, you know, in the end, when this woman cried out, she said, bring me yet a vessel. Bring me yet a vessel. That word, yet, is it? What does she mean by that? Was she greedy? Was she seeking a fortune to sell? No. She looked into her pot. She said, still some more. Still plenty more here. She looked inside. Bring me a vessel yet. There's a lot more. And I said, there's not a vessel more. You'll stay. I sort of feel that God is saying that to us tonight. Bring me yet a vessel. Bring me yet a vessel. Now, if ever a man knew the truth of this, it was the prophet. And I want to tell you, beloved, you preacher men, you're going to be preachers, or you want to be preachers, or what it is, I want to tell you something. You must not touch this unless you are a living illustration of the things that you prophesy and say. You understand this, and understand this well. This man was the living epitome. He was the exhibition and revelation and illustration of the thing that came out of his own mouth. How glorious this is, beloved, to realize it. Let's go, shall we? We'll go back and look and see that this man, Elisha. There came a day, we're told this, in chapter 2 of verse 1, the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Chapter 2, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Praise God. You see, beloved, why some men get somewhere with God, don't you? Look at the spirit of them. Got the same spirit that was in Caleb. Mm. That's right, you know about Caleb, don't you? Read about him if you don't. See, I will not leave thee. Let's go on. So they went to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I don't want any of your advices now. I don't want anything. All you prophets, you just keep quiet. You just hold your peace. Praise the name of the Lord. And anyway, I don't want you to rub it in. I love my master. But the break's going to be real. But just keep quiet. You see? And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto them, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the God, the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him, bowed themselves to the ground before him. And there, I say, is this great truth. Here then is this man, Elisha. And when he says to this woman, Now, don't borrow a few. This is the great trouble, you see. People have got such limitations. I want to preach to you tonight, beloved, by this grace of God, this limitless God of ours. This limitless God. There are no measurements here. I want to say to you, beloved, that if you will go through with God, and if you will begin as God wants you to begin, and go on as God wants you to go on, there are no limits anywhere. You see, he only said to this woman, Go and borrow not a few vessels. That's all they had to do. And he, listen to him, when he was prayed by the man of God not to go, the one that he regarded as his head, as the disciples regarded Jesus, for we know he's the head of the church. You see, they said, your master's going to be taken away from your head today. He said, I know it, hold your peace. And Elijah, now don't you come, you stay there. He went through. And he said, Now listen, you've asked something hard. What do you want? A double portion of your spirit, Elijah. Oh, glory be to God. I want a double portion of your spirit. Praise God. It's a hard thing you've asked. But nevertheless, if you can see me when I'm taken up to heaven, he said, you'll have it. They just went on talking. I reckon old Elisha never took his eyes off Elijah. He looked at him. He watched him. And the chariot of God came and split them asunder. They were divided by fire. Amen. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And you know the mantle fell down. Glory. And isn't this true that the mantle of Jesus Christ, the head, fell on the early church? Is it right or is it not right? That mantle fell on the early church. They watched the head being taken up. Amen. From the Mount of Ascension. They watched the head being taken up. And the angel said, Now you go and tarry in Jerusalem. And do you know what they got at Jerusalem? They got a double portion of the Spirit. They were baptized in the Spirit and anointed in the Spirit at the same time. They got a double portion. And I want to show you something else about this double portion too. Are you ready to receive the truth? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll have a look at this double portion in John chapter 14. Let's start in the first verse. And you'll see that the Lord intends you to be comforted. Don't let your heart be troubled. He's going to talk about the comforter. See? Don't let your heart be troubled, you see. start for. Oh, glory, glory. You need comforting. Don't let your heart be troubled. And in this great 14th chapter, this is the way he talks. If you love me, verse 15, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter. That's the second one, isn't it? You'll find it's the double one in a moment. Let's go on. For if there's another comforter, there must already be one. That's right. All right. Two comforters here. Hallelujah. Let's see if they get the double portion, shall we? All right, we'll go on. That he may abide with you unto the age, forever. What age is this? The age of consummation. Hallelujah. When it's all going to be fulfilled. Amen. Let's go on. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. That's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, that's the second one. Now you've got to have the double one. I will not leave you comfortless, I will comfort you. So they got both. They got the double portion. All right? They got the double portion of Christ, of him. What's that? Christ's own Spirit, the Christ Spirit, and the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That's right. They got the double portion. Hallelujah. They got the personal Christ. And then they moved into the composite Christ, the double portion of the Christ. They were all baptized into one body. They all drank into one spirit. He says, I'm coming to you, and the other comforter's coming too. Oh, to be doubly comforted. Oh, God, to abide in you in this manner. Now, you see, this prophet was talking from that blessed head came the glorious Holy Ghost poured out on the day of Pentecost. Oh, and those vessels there. Those vessels. Glory. They knew they were vessels. They got so filled. They overflowed. They were just flooded on that great initial occasion, beloved. Now the Lord wants you to understand and see this great thing. And he says to this woman, he says, now don't go and borrow a few. And oftentimes the test is in the simple thing that God says to you. Let's ever remember this. In the simplest things that God says lies the test. You won't be set a great big test like Elisha was tested with. You haven't got to screw your eyes to see someone going up to heaven in a whirlwind. You haven't got to do that. But this, beloved, you've got to see. Is there a vessel here that isn't filled? Am I to understand, and is God understanding now in his glory, that every one of us in this room is a vessel filled with the Holy Ghost? Is this right? And he's saying, bring me yet a vessel. Bring me yet a vessel. This is so gloriously true, beloved. You should have a vessel, beloved. You are a vessel. And supposing tonight it was as it were, I wish I could, I'd put my arms around you. And I just breathe as you say, Lord, here's a vessel. Hello, Lord. It's as lovely as that. Yeah. I'd identify myself with you. You see, I'm free. It's the vessels that we're all going to live on. It's all the vessels of life now. Mm-hmm. The debt's been paid. That's all right. Only needed one vessel to be filled for the debt to be paid. That vessel was called Jesus Christ. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was the great original comforter. That's a comfort to your heart to know the debt's paid. Eh? To know the blood's been shed. To know that your sin's been dealt with. Eh? That's a comfort, isn't it? Eh? To know, as God was saying to us this morning, we had a precious time. Sorry, you had to have breakfast somewhere else this morning. We had a wonderful time in the fellowship this morning. Breakfast time. I think so anyway. Wonderful. God started to talk. I remember clearly. It was revelation in the Spirit. I always remember when it's revelation. Yeah, I always remember revelation. Paul had to remember revelation because he had to write it down by the Spirit. Lots of other prophecies, I suppose, he didn't remember, but when it was revelation, that's how I preach revelation. I remember it from prophetical truth stated to me in the Spirit. Revelation truth, beloved, it stamps itself on your heart that you will never forget it for all eternity. The other little messages that come and sort of build you up like the milk of the word, you may forget them. That's right. But the depositum of good is left in you to build you up. All the protein and calcium and all that, that's all left behind. I mean the spiritual protein and calcium. Didn't you know there's protein in milk? Did you know that? That's right. Yeah, that's right. And the Lord builds up. That's how you get your meat, first of all, protein in milk. You ought to have milk, meat in some form, but I mustn't stop on that now. That's another matter. But, you see, this is what the Lord said to us this morning. I don't know the words. You see, that's past. The form of the utterance is gone, but the revelation remains. It's this. That God wanted us all to understand that he did not impute trespasses and iniquity to anybody. Furthermore, he said that he was in Christ reconciling, and therefore he didn't impute iniquity to anybody. God doesn't impute iniquity to the world even. You read the chapter and see where God is. You be careful about condemning everybody. God's not imputing iniquity. And then he went on to say, neither that in Christ did he condemn anybody, so nobody was condemned. Amen. Then he went on and he said to us, and if you're born again, you don't sin. That's that. That's a tremendous thing. I'm going to preach on those 3 points. I won't do it tonight. I've just told you. That's revelation. So it's in the Bible, I know, but it's when it gets put together properly it becomes revelation. Not the bare words of Scripture. And this is the wonderful truth. You see, beloved. You do see, don't you? You and I, we've got to move in this great realm where we see that he's come to fill us. And there aren't any limits. And I'm a vessel. Glory. And it's the simplest thing out. Wants to comfort you. Fill you. Just fill you. You won't be wondering anything about God then when he's filling you. Won't be looking over here and trying to find him in a star or something. Or getting all poetic and trying to see him in a daisy. Filling you. Glory. Filling you. Filling you. Filling you. And I tell you what, if you won't put limits on God, I'll tell you how he'll fill you. He'll fill you till you're utterly possessed. As that man Legion was possessed by the devil, you'll be possessed by God. Amen. Glory. And if you go on, I promise you, you'll get beyond being possessed. You'll get obsessed. You'll become mad. All the true saints are mad. You have to get obsessed to be a saint. Yeah, you have to be obsessed. Like Paul, he was mad. Paul was absolutely mad. They told him so to his face. You see? Until, beloved, this great knowledge of God, this moving in the realm of the Spirit is just all your life. God doesn't give the Spirit by measure. But you see, there's a law that governs it. It's we that put the limits on it. Here's the law that governs it. Listen. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. How big's the vessel? Oh, it's only a little tiny pot. That's right. It wasn't that there wasn't stacks of oil. With what measure you measure, how big's your measure? Hey, how big's your measure? Oh, Lord. May the blessed Lord give us a revelation of this immensity. Open our hearts to this limitlessness. Glory. Oh, more and more. I want my heart to come here. No impossibilities. Hallelujah. You know, you get illustrations of this all the way through your life. Some time ago, they decided I got to go to America. Or the Lord did. So I thought I'd better get a passport and I'd better get a visa. And so I applied for a passport up in Liverpool. Got some friends up there who know how to get through customs up there, or whatever it is, I don't know. And I got the passport and I applied for visa at the same time, and they said, oh, you can't, anyway, you mustn't apply, you live in the south of England now, we don't have anything to do with you up here, you've got to apply in London. You applied to the wrong office. What's that horrible squeak?
Sorry.
And you mustn't apply down here, up here, they said. You'll have to apply in London. But they gave me little hopes of getting a visa. Gave me very little hopes of getting a visa. Oh, switch it on, sister. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop. Beg your pardon. All right. And that won't upset me. It won't upset anybody else. So they said, you'll have to apply in London. But you've got very little hopes, they said. See? So I don't know what to do about this. So I just went up to London yesterday, presented it over the counter and went and sat down until the name was called. And I thought, well, now I should get called into a box here and I should be questioned and cross-questioned and I don't know what, and no hopes of going to America. So I sat tight, and about 10 minutes somebody came over the door, called my name out. I went out and handed it over. Since I said, I opened it up. And it had got a visa stamped inside, and it had this time indefinite, visits multiple. So I went up to the man at the desk and I said, excuse me, I've never been abroad before, I don't understand what this means, will you explain? Well, he said, see that indefinite, I said, yes. He said, that means you can stay as long as you like. And see that multiple? It means you can go as often as you like. As long as you live. There. Now you see, I was struggling about... Well, you know, I wasn't struggling. I don't know. You're the only one that can do this, you see? And left it to him, and that's what he does. There aren't any limits. See, he can even make a government do what he wants.
Glory.
That's the fact. There aren't any limits to God, and that's a little minor thing. In this great business of being filled with God, he doesn't give the Spirit by measure. And if you haven't got much of the Holy Ghost, that's your fault. And if you haven't got any of the Holy Ghost, it's still your fault. But if you haven't got the Holy Ghost, tell me what you have got. That's the important thing. I mean, we stand up and sing, I am an empty vessel. I nearly crossed that thing out of the vine. Didn't true. Filled with something. It's your nature to be filled. You must be filled. You're full of air now. As soon as your lungs get into it, you gasp it in, you must be filled. You must be. That's right. That's how you're made. God's made sure of it. And he doesn't give the Spirit by measure at all. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Praise God. Then, beloved, all you've got to do is to present yourself and say, Lord, fill me. Lord, just fill me. And just open up, you know, like a mouth of a pot, go and let him pour in. Well, you don't have to look like a fish. But you do need to believe God in utmost simplicity.
Amen.
You haven't got to think of anything else than God. Nothing, nothing. You haven't got to believe that it's all right for everybody else but you. It's all right for some people. I expect you to think, well, it's all right for that chap named North. Well, why is it? Any more than you? Of course, it is all right for me. And it's all right for you, too. And I tell you why it's all right. Because Jesus died to ensure that it would be all right.
Amen.
And Jesus lives to ensure that it's all right.
Amen.
Glory. And it's all guided and controlled. And it all comes from Jesus. Amen. Amen. But because it's controlled, it doesn't mean to say it's limited. The woman controlled the outpouring. But it wasn't limited all the time there was a vessel. Amen. Bring me yet a vessel, says God, and I'll fill it. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Is there a vessel here tonight that isn't filled with God? I'll fill it, says God. It's as simple as that. But you see, we put the limitation. Let me give you another illustration of this in the Bible. Do you remember the story of the prophet who told someone to take an arrow sword in his hand and stab the ground? Do you remember? And this man, he took it and he stabbed the ground 3 times and stopped. You'd have gone on stabbing, God would have delivered the lot. But you put the limitation on, your faith did not go beyond 3 pokes. That's right. You see, he put the limit on God, and this is the great cry of God in the 88th Psalm. Is that one of his great complaints against Israel of old, is that you have limited the Holy One of Israel. You've done it, he said. You have limited the Holy One of Israel. Yes. You got any limits to God? Have you? Well, as sure as you keep limits on God, I'll tell you what, you'll cease to worship the true God. You'll worship this idol God that you can limit. You've got to worship and know an unlimited and an illimitable God. Praise God. You know, beloved, I believe this, and suffer me to speak this to you, perhaps having had longer experience in these realms than anybody in the room. I don't know. I'm not trying to do any comparison, but I want to speak to you looking back over a long time in these realms. I have learned, beloved, as I've gone on with God, I learned to my amazement more and more this great limitless God. This is what I'm learning. The greatness of God. Oh, the wonders of it all. The matchlessness of his power. That's what I'm learning. And it's a glorious lesson. Oh, if only I'd known 20 years ago to be as simple as God is teaching me to be simple. I don't mean in preaching or anything like that. I mean just simple in my relationship with God. As soon as you start to get complicated, beloved, you start to put limits on. Soon as you start to get complicated, to know, beloved, that there aren't any limits. This is the big thing so far as God is concerned. You do believe that about God, do you? Do you believe it's true what Mary was expected to believe? And she wasn't a Christian. She was not a born-again woman. And the angel came and said so and so and so and so. And then she had to listen to him saying, with God, nothing should be impossible. She had to learn this from God. With God, nothing should be impossible. And that was in relationship to the Holy Ghost. The power of shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. Amen. Nothing shall be impossible. They were. The trouble is, as soon as some people hear a text like that, they start thinking of the most fantastic things that they think they want God to do. You've gone against what I've said. After all these years, I've learned that it's simplicity, not fantastic complications to think yourself up into a world greater than Elijah's whirlwind. Nay, you just become simple. You see? And this is the thing. Why do you think Mary said to the servants on the first miracle at Cana of Galilee, why do you think she said to those servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it? Why did he say? Well, she'd learned it. Elisha had learned it, you see. So he talked to the woman. She'd learned it. Do you know what she said? Be it unto me according to thy word. That's all. That's all you have to say forever. All the rest of your life. Not something. See, she started to get into her mind. Oh, how can these things be? See, whoa, she thought. I'm thinking, mind, 50 to the dozen her mind was working. You see. Oh. And he said, the Holy Ghost will come Do you know what that word, be it unto me, really is? So be it. Amen. That's all she said, wasn't it? Amen. Glory. Amen. She never thought of anything. She just said, amen. And it happened. Oh, glory. There aren't any limits. I'm learning this. People come to me and they ask me questions about prayer. Did I tell you that someone wrote to me the other day, said they'd heard, I don't know what, they'd heard me say on a tape something, that if I started to preach on prayer, it would be so different from what other people preach, that I'm afraid to start. But you see, beloved, I've learned so much about this prayer life. Do you know what it is? Amen. That's all prayer life is. That's all it is. You see, I told you, I mustn't start preaching on prayer, but it won't be the accepted things. I learned after these years. That's all it is. It's amen. Amen. Got another vessel? Amen. Got another vessel? Amen. Got another vessel? Amen. That's all. Oh, beloved. to know what God says. Don't pray over what God says. Say amen, Lord. Amen. Say, well, you want us all to be parrots. Say amen. No. This has got to come from the Spirit that understands. In fact, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you something more. You don't even have to say amen. That's right. Prayer is the attitude of spirit. That's right. Glory. Then I'll set you free to do a lot of work then. You don't have to shut yourself up in room for hours. You see? That's good. Try. Glory. Now I'm not saying to you young people, don't shut yourself up in your room. I do it. But you know what I mostly do? Lie silent before God. I lie on God. I don't know whether I'm heavy, but it usually gives me what I want. Oh, I'd like to start telling you now. The endless line of effects and things that one could summon here as demonstrations and illustrations of it. That's right. Oh, there's no limit to God. No limit to God. The trouble with so many of us, we are so more that we make our God to suit us. That's the trouble. He can fill you. Fill your world. Fill everything. Fill your heart. Fill your body till it's a temple. Fill your tongue. Fill your mind. Fill your imagination. Fill your hands. He can fill your countenance. He can fill your voice. He can fill you and flood you. He can do anything. When you're yielded up. You see, when you're just a vessel, you don't struggle and you don't kick and you don't know any limits. You don't know any limits at all. Amen. Is that your way? Is that how you're walking with God? Is that what you're beginning to learn? To live like that. And that man, Elisha, he said to that woman, go and live of the oil. The rest, he called it, the oil. Never the oil. What are you living on? Come on, what are you living on? Live of the oil. Ooh, glory. Live the oil. This is a right comfortable life. Comforted? You can't be miserable anymore. You live of the oil. You live of the Holy Ghost. He's your life. Amen. He comes in Jesus' name to bring the fullness of blessed Christ in you. Amen. Now that's the way you've got to live. You make up your minds, people, this is it. Say, well, now that's what I want. Is that what you want? Well, don't look worried about it. Don't look worried about it. You don't have to do that at all. That's right. You see? And old Elisha, he picked up the, when this happened to Elisha, he knew he got it, you know. He saw it. My father, he said. Glory, I see it. Yeah, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Amen. And it took old Elijah away from his head. And he was the better man for it. That's right. It's expedient for you that I go away, said Jesus. It's expedient for you that I go away. You see? Hitherto he'd only poured water on the hands of Elijah. You see? But now Elijah went. He didn't pour water on anybody's hands. He became those hands. And God used him. That's right. It was expedient for Jesus Christ to go away that these people ceased to be servants and became sons. That's right. And they walked in the name and power of the Son of God. And Elisha knew he's finished. He got all of his garment and he rent it in twain. Hallelujah. He finished with the old. There was no sort of respectable kinds of mourning. You had to tear your garment a certain length to show who you were mourning for. Did you know that? Yes, if you mourn for some people, you had to tear your garments more than if you mourn for others. But he got hold of his garment and finished with that. Hallelujah. No crocodile tears for me. He rent the garment and stepped out of his old life, picked up the mantle of Elijah, goes down to Jordan. The first impossibility for Jordan speaks of death. The last enemy was already overcome. He smote the waters of Jordan. He says, where's the God of Elijah? You can almost hear God saying he's here. That's right. The God of Elijah was in Elisha. Praise God. And I tell you, the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ will be in you if you let him fill you with the Holy Ghost. Be in you. The last enemy is already overcome. Death's been dealt with. You're through your Jordan. You're away. Hallelujah. You're away. And God hasn't deposited our great Elijah on some mountain to send 50 sons of the prophets looking for him. We know where he is. He's sitting on the throne.
And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, says Peter, on that great day of Pentecost. And he's received of the Father the promise of the Spirit, and he shed forth this. He says, glory be to God. Amen. Have you got this double portion in you? Are you moving in this? Don't you realize that Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven for you to have a double benefit and a double portion? It's expedient for you that I go away, he says. If I stay here, you'll just have me. But he says, if I go away, oh God, he says, we'll come. Father will come. I'll come. The Holy Ghost has come. We'll all come. That's it. You'll be full then. You'll be full. Have you ever been filled in this manner? Instead of just searching out for drops of finite happiness, let God just pour into you nothing, nothing. Once you've had your ears open to this proper gospel, and once you've had your eyes fixed on this glorious end, and once your tongue has tasted the true sweetness of Christ, you cannot be satisfied with anything other than to be filled. And to know that others are filled too. That's right. Bring another vessel. Bring another vessel. Amen. Let them all be filled. This is the dictum of God. This is the declaration of Pentecost. This is what God is saying. And when there were no more to be filled on the day of Pentecost, bless God, because we are through that old age when the oil stayed. I want to tell you, the oil is still running. And it didn't stay with 120. 3,120 by the end of the day. And on it went. And he's still pouring out now. He's still pouring out now. Amen. Are you filled? Are you filled? My eyes falling on you. You filled? You say, well, I'm only a little awkward shaped pot, Lord. It doesn't matter. I tell you what, if you're not satisfied with yourself, fall on the cross. Let him make you again. Let him remake you. If you're not satisfied with yourself, blessed be the name of the Lord. So, well, does anybody ever get satisfied with themselves? No. But the strange part about it, Father often seems to be satisfied. He's not so hard to please as people make out. That's what I've discovered. He seems to be pleased with very little things. Like me, for instance. He seems to be ever so pleased. Yeah. He's lovely. Yes. And he just wants to fill you. See? I believe that the God is still pouring out. This may be the last meeting of our conference, but it's not the last of the oil. Amen. Come on, let's seek God.